Tyndale Audio presents And the Shofar Blew by Francine Rivers. Narrated by Steve Siever. Chapter 1, 1987. Samuel Mason sat parked in his white DeSoto across the street from Centerville Christian Church. The old place was like him. It had seen better days. Half a dozen shingles were still missing from the steeple, blown off in the windstorm of 84. The paint was chipped. If a decision wasn't made soon, Samuel was afraid he would live long enough to see a for sale sign posted on the church property. Reaching over, he picked up the worn black leather Bible lying on the passenger seat.
"I'm trying to keep the faith, Lord. I'm trying to trust."
"Samuel?"
Hollis Sawyer limped along the sidewalk of First Street. They met at the front steps. Hollis gripped the rusted iron railing with his left hand, planted his cane, and hitched his hip, lifting his prosthetic leg to the second step.
"Otis called. He said he'd be late."
Samuel unlocked the front door of the church and looked in at the once mauve, now sun-bleached gray carpet in the narthex. Hollis winced as he limped across the threshold and hobbled down the aisle.
"It's as cold in here as a Minnesota winter."
"I can turn on the heat."
"Don't bother. By the time the place warms up, our meeting will be over."
Hollis stepped into the second pew and eased himself down.
"So who's preaching this Sunday?"
Samuel took the pew across from him and set his Bible beside him.
"Sunday is the least of our problems, Hollis."
Resting his wrists on the back of the front pew, he clasped his hands and looked up. At least the brass cross and two candlesticks on the altar were polished. The carpet needed to be cleaned, the pulpit painted. Unfortunately, the workers were fewer each year, and the financial gifts dwindled despite the generous spirits of the parishioners, all of whom were living on fixed incomes, some only on Social Security.
"Lord."
Samuel's mind went blank as he fought tears. Swallowing the lump in his throat, he looked at the empty choir loft. He remembered a time when it had been full of singers, all robed in red and gold. Now there was only his wife, Abby, who sang every few Sundays. As much as he loved the old gal, Samuel had to admit Abby's voice just wasn't what it used to be. One by one, the programs of the church had dried up, children grew up and moved away, the middle-aged became elderly, and the elderly died. For 40 years, he and Abby had been part of this church. Their children had gone through Sunday school here. Pastor Hank had performed their daughter Nancy's wedding ceremony, and then conducted the memorial service when the body of their son, Donnie, had been brought home from Vietnam. He couldn't remember the last baptism, but memorial services were coming all too often. The front door of the church banged shut.
"Sorry I'm late."
Otis Harrison came down the aisle and sat in a front pew. Samuel rose to greet him.
"How's Mabel feeling?"
"Poorly. Doctor put her back on oxygen. She gets downright crabby dragging that tank around the house."
The front pew creaked as Otis settled his weight.
"What's the news on Hank?"
"Not good,"
Samuel said.
"Abby and I were at the hospital last night with Susanna. She wants Hank to retire."
Hollis stretched out his bad leg.
"We should wait and see what Hank says."
Samuel knew they didn't want to face facts.
"He's had a heart attack, Hollis. He can't say anything with a tube down his throat. The truth is, this is just one more crisis in a long series of crises we've faced. And I don't want to see this one put us under. We have to make some decisions."
Hollis shifted uneasily.
"What time did you and Abby get to the hospital?"
Anytime the discussion turned toward unpleasant things, Hollis leapfrogged to another subject.
"Half an hour after Susanna called us. Hank hasn't been feeling well for a long time. About a week ago, he told me about a friend from his college days who's dean at a Christian university in the Midwest. He spoke very highly of him and of the school. I think he was trying to tell me where we should start looking for his successor."
"Now, wait a minute,"
Hollis said.
"This isn't the time to retire him, Samuel.
What kind of blow would that be for a man flat on his back?
Otis's face was red and tight.
Hank's been the driving force of this church for the past 40 years. We can't do without him.
Samuel had known it wouldn't be easy.
I'm telling you, Hank isn't coming back. And if we want this church to survive, we better do something about finding someone else to stand at the helm. We're about to drift onto the rocks.
Hollis waved his hand.
Hank was in the hospital 5 years ago, having bypass surgery. We'll just invite some guest speakers until he's back on his feet, like we did the last time.
Samuel's heel came off the floor, moving up and down silently as it always did when he was tense. What would it take to get through to his old friends? Did the Lord himself have to blast the ram's horn in order to get them to move on?
Susanna said their oldest granddaughter is expecting a baby this spring. She said it would be nice to see Hank with a great-grandchild on his knee. She said it would be nice to be part of their children's lives again. Which one of you wants to tell Hank he hasn't earned the right to do those things? Which one of you wants to tell him we expect him to stand in that pulpit until he drops dead?
His voice broke. Hollis frowned and then looked away, but not before Samuel saw the moisture in his eyes. Samuel leaned his arm on the pew.
Hank needs to know we understand. He needs our thanks for all his years of faithful service to this congregation. He needs our blessing, and he needs the pension fund we set up years ago so he and Susanna have something more to live on than a monthly check from the government and the charity of their children. So,
Otis drawled,
what do we do without a pastor? This church has been dying for the past 10 years. When Hank heads north, it'll be dead.
I don't agree,
Samuel said, determined.
Why don't we pray about it?
Otis looked dismal.
What good is praying going to do at this point? Look, Samuel, it's over. We have a congregation of what?
59, Hollis said dismally. On the membership roster. 33 made it to church last Sunday.
Otis looked at Samuel.
There, you see how it is? We haven't got the money to pay the bills. We haven't got a pastor to preach. Unless you want to take over, Samuel, I say we walk away gracefully.
Gracefully? How do you shut down a church gracefully?
Samuel felt the heat well up from deep inside him as though someone were blowing softly over the dying embers inside his heart.
What happened to the fire we all felt when we came to Christ? We got old,
Hollis said.
We got tired,
Otis said. Samuel stood up.
Abraham was 100 when he fathered Isaac. Moses was 80 when God called him out of the desert. Caleb was 85 when he took the hill country surrounding Hebron.
Otis harumphed.
80 must have been a whole lot younger back in Bible times than it is now.
We came together in this place because we believe in Jesus Christ, didn't we?
Samuel clung stubbornly to his faith.
Has that changed? Not one iota,
Hollis said.
We're talking about closing down the church, not giving up our faith,
Otis said hotly.
Even with the new pastor, we haven't got the money to pay the bills. We need more people.
Samuel looked back and forth between the two men solemnly.
We still have 33 people who need fellowship. I vote we call that Dean.
Okay.
Otis raised his hands.
Okay, if that's what you're after, you've got my vote. Call that Dean. See what he can do for us.